So to start out, we have, what is the strangest food that you have eaten on the mission field? So there's a food called, it depends on the country you're in, but mondongo, and it's cow stomach, and it's not bad tasting, it's just slimy. And so it's, you know, it's, the taste is okay, but then as it goes down, it's really just kind of gross. But a lot of people love it. So you either love it or you hate it, honestly. So that's one of the strangest. Also, scariest experience that has happened on the mission field. I would say I got in a car wreck, one time. Well, that was one of them. And there was a person standing in the middle of the road, and it was late at night. And I had to swerve to not hit this person. And it was a person with mental illness. And so my car spun and I ended up in, thankfully, a shallow ditch. I didn't hit a tree. I didn't hit a telephone pole. I didn't hit a house. I didn't go over a cliff. So I was okay. The car was kind of okay. But that was one of those. So the Lord placed his angels around me to protect me for that one. So there's one. Okay, we have one. What is a deaconess? I'm going to get that to that a little in when I do the presentation. So I'm not going to, because I'm going to talk about that in the presentation. What are the different jobs in the mission field? Okay, this is a great question. And we have some people here to help you talk about that. Different jobs on the mission field. There are jobs for church workers, okay, church workers being like pastor, DCE, a deaconess, perhaps a DCO, parish ministry, all those types of, there's now a DCM, director of Christian ministry. There are all those types of jobs on the mission field. So you could be a, what's called a church planter and start new churches. Usually pastors are called to start new churches, and sometimes deaconesses to help the pastor start new churches. There are lots of times what are called theological educators. That's a big word, which means the pastors who teach others about the Bible and the Bible's teaching so that they can become pastors or they could become deaconesses. There's communication specialists, and you don't have to be a church worker, for example, to be a communication specialist. They do things on social media, a YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all those things, and put out stories for missions to get the word out about what is God doing around the world. We also have anywhere from teachers, ESL teachers, music teachers, Christian educators in Lutheran schools. Hey, help me out, Courtney or Blake. What else do we got that I'm missing? Office manager. If you're great at administration, we have people who are whizzes in business administration, accounting, other things that help with all administrative things on the mission field. So there's many, many opportunities, and there are some things in your seat. For example, and we have some up here if you're missing, there's one here. It says, pray for God's mission in Africa. Now, I work in the Latin American Caribbean mission, but we always want to remember to pray for our fields. And there's a QR code that you can scan and learn more about the mission in Africa. There's also this page, and we have more up here. So you can either see my husband Carlos or Courtney up here, and they can give you this information also with a QR code. It says you get to tell them the good news. And this talks about ways you can serve on the mission field. So there's lots of information on the LCMS website about that. But sometimes you gotta, where do I go to find it? QR code. So many, many opportunities. You can also serve on a short-term mission. So many congregations, for example, will contact our synod and say, our church wants to take a team down to help on a foreign mission field. And there are many, many different opportunities, from teaching VBS to doing an eyeglass clinic. And there's even opportunities where you go and learn about the mission field and learn about being a missionary. So there's many of those opportunities. You don't necessarily have to go and be there 20 years. You can go for a week. You can go for shorter stints, there's also what's called a GEO program, Globally Engaged Outreach Missionary. We have Courtney down here, and she was a GEO in the DR. We worked together for 2 years, and she was a volunteer. She can tell you more about that, for 2 years after college, and then is now back in St. Louis working for the Office of International Missions. So she's carrying on her ministry there, but there's lots of opportunities as a GEO, and you don't have to be a church worker. A lot of kids out of college will do that before, you know, starting a career or starting their family. They're like, I'm going to go try out the mission field and put my knowledge and my services to work. So there are many opportunities like that. So we can also answer any questions about that after the session or in the exhibit hall and look for a tower that says LCMS. It's a blue tower, and we're going to be there, and we can tell you more about all the opportunities that exist. New question. Oh, and this, before I move on, if you'd like one of these, it says ways you can serve in the LCMS. And this talks about becoming a church worker. For example, somebody asked, what is a deaconess? This will tell you a little bit about that and the other vocations that we have in our synods. We got lots of these. And if you haven't stopped by our booth yet, do. There's a game on the back. You can play bingo. Talk to a deaconess. Talk to a pastor. Talk to a DCE. Just need 3 in a row. And you can enter a drawing to win a prize. So the prizes are a water bottle, which everybody needs water bottles, or a souvenir from the Dominican Republic. So we invite you to take one of these or stop by our booth. Okay, one more question, or a couple more questions. What is the coolest animal you have seen in the Dominican Republic? So Dominican Republic has lovely Caribbean beaches, white sand, and so the water is really light blue. And you can go snorkeling and see dozens of different types of tropical fishes that are just beautiful with beautiful colors. I would say that's probably the most impressive thing that I've seen there are the fishies in the sea. So, okay, here's another one. What steps would you recommend for a senior in college discerning missionary work? One, I would suggest you talk to your pastor in your church and start with there and start praying about it. Then you can also go to the LCMS website. For example, a QR code again, and there's the LCMS website has information about what it is to, be a missionary, what the process is. There is an application. You can fill out an application. You don't have to become a missionary, but you can fill out an application and see where it goes. Once you fill out the application, then you can start having conversations with personnel in the Synod and the Office of International Mission about the opportunities and where you might be able to fit and if it's the right time to serve in your life. So that's where I would begin. So anything to follow up on that, Court? We're good? Okay. And what's your favorite part about being a missionary? Well, if you heard my presentation last night, you guys remember when I went to the Dominican Republic, there wasn't anything there. There weren't churches. So we had to start from scratch. And so I had to do, you know, a lot what I could do. So I taught Sunday school and I did youth group and I visited people and you got to put out the chairs and you got to get everything ready. 20 years later, I don't do any of those things. Now there are Dominican leaders who do that. There are Dominican deaconesses that teach the Sunday school or get the church ready with putting all the chairs out and getting everything clean and preparing the altar and doing visitation. So I don't do that anymore. Now I train the people to do those things. So my greatest joy is to see other people doing God's work and sharing Jesus. It's wonderful to see people who didn't know how to talk about Jesus and what he's done for us to now be able to do that, to teach a Sunday school or to talk about their faith. So, and what made you want to be a missionary? I never wanted to be a missionary. I kind of fell into it. And then I started out as a GEO, a volunteer. And then I didn't know what to do with my life, honestly. So I graduated from college. And then so I'm like, well, I'll apply again because I don't know what to do with my life. And they sent me to Panama. And then about 3 years into work, I was like, this is what I want to do. So that's how I fell into that. Have you experienced any miracles during your mission work? Yes, I think they're miracles that happen every day. And one of those is just the miracles of faith, of people who do not know Christ, whose lives are without hope, and they're lonely, and their lives are completely a wreck and messed up. And through God working in his word, they come to faith in Jesus and they experience his forgiveness. They have joy in their life now. Other miracles, my husband here, he had a heart attack and survived. And he had a heart attack during COVID and they turned him away at 3 hospitals. And so he was heart attacking for an hour and he survived his heart attack. And the doctors, we don't know how he survived. So that was a miracle. That was another one of the scariest things in my life. So, we're thankful for the miracle that he worked in my husband. So, yeah, many miracles like that, even protecting me from in my car accident, a lot of things could have happened and they didn't. So, good. Okay. Here's another one. How do I endure through my problems if I don't have time to pray? So, I think one of those things, life is really, really busy. So I get it. You wake up, go to school. Maybe you have, sports, jobs. Maybe you have a lot of responsibilities at home. And then you got to do your homework and it comes to be 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and you're beat and you fall asleep before you can have your prayers. So it's hard to learn how to one, manage your time. And then two, to be able to set apart that time. I think sometimes we think prayer has to be, I need to spend 15 minutes in prayer every morning and read my Bible for 15 minutes. And yeah, you might not have a half an hour. So, but prayer can be done one throughout the day. So I'll be honest with you. And last night I was like really nervous before I gave my talk and the stagehand came up and she taught my children. She's like 2 minutes. And so I just closed my eyes and I said like a 2-sentence prayer. Lord, help me. You've got to get me through this. And that's what I said. And then my body relaxed and I could go out and I could talk and I didn't faint or anything. I didn't pass out because of my nerves, which, you know, I kind of, you know, thought I could. So prayer also sometimes we don't need to complicate it. We can just say, hey, Lord, help me with my test. Or, hey, Lord, I'm having a really bad day. Can you help me? That's prayer. That's prayer. So, sometimes we don't have 15 minutes to pray. We can say prayers throughout the day. When you go to bed tonight, hey, Lord, thanks for just keeping me safe. And I just want to ask you to forgive my sins. And thanks for loving me. Okay. I hope that helps. All right. We're going to get to the presentation and, then we'll ask more questions. So if some of you wrote more questions towards the end, we can ask more. What was your biggest struggle in becoming a missionary? What was difficult about the process? So I think I talked a little bit about this in the talk. I mean, not a lot, but, you know, in the beginning, there were just two missionaries, me and a pastor, and we were the only missionaries there for 4 years. So there's a lot of loneliness, and that missionary was from Brazil. He spoke Portuguese, and my language is English, of course, and so we had to figure it out. we had to speak Spanish. So, but you know, it's difficult when you don't know anybody and you have to learn a lot of things. So you have to learn how to drive in a different country. It's completely different. You have to, you know, learn how to honk your horn so somebody does not plow into you. You have to learn how to get along with people so that you're placed with in really different circumstances and learn to just love those people in spite of your weaknesses and their weaknesses. And a lot of it was loneliness, just being two people on an island trying to start a church. Those are some of the other things that were difficult. Learning to live without a Walmart, a Target, not really, that wasn't that bad, but yeah, just there was a lot to learn at the beginning. And so a lot of things to do because there wasn't a church. So we didn't have Bibles. We didn't have anything. So a lot of the struggles there was starting and then, yeah, missing your family, missing your friends. And thankfully I have a good support and family that supports me and friends that support me. So that's great. All right, let's get to it. So just one of the things that I got some pictures of my husband here. He works in a mission in the Dominican Republic. So how does mission work start? So we talk about church planting, which means starting a church. And we do this by visiting people and making contacts. And there's lots of different ways to make contacts, whether we do a Sunday school or VBS. And in the Dominican Republic, I'm in the pink shirt, kind of with the blue circle thing on the back. Thankfully, you can go into people's homes. And we're actually outside the home. It's really hot in the Dominican Republic, and they don't have AC in their homes. So oftentimes, we sit out in the shade in plastic chairs and talk to people. And they're very open. So we visit people's homes, and we have an opportunity to say, how are y'all doing? And they might say, oh, we have a sick relative. Oh, okay. Or we have this and this problem, or we're doing good. So we'll ask if we can pray for them and share God's word with them. So that's one of the ways we do that. Another is children's ministry and youth ministry. Lots of kids come to Sunday school by themselves or come to activities by themselves. They don't have all of the activities that you guys have in school. You can do sports in school. You can do music in school. You can do art in school. You can do tons of things in school. Their schools don't offer those things necessarily. So they're interested in coming and doing crafts and learning about God's word. And so that is a great outreach to do. One of the things that we also do is my husband teaches guitar and piano to students for outreach. And of course, all mission work depends on God's word. So it is through the hearing of God's word that he changes hearts. And he's the one that honestly does make the mission grow. He's the one who made it how we had zero members in the Dominican Republic to now we have hundreds. And so that's the miracle that happens every day of faith. So, and one of those is through baptism. This is a baptism, and this is entrance into the church, entrance into God's family, being baptized and receiving the forgiveness of sins and baptism. Here are some more pictures of the activities and the mission. And so the kids love to learn the Bible stories and hear God's word and sing, do crafts. So that's one of our big ministries, at least in the Dominican Republic. It's not like that everywhere. But where we live in the Dominican, that is a really easy way to meet people. Here's a group in our mission there at Christmas time, a lovely group of kids who they receive some gifts there. I know a lot of you are a bit interested in the group home, our ministry for people with developmental disabilities. I talked a little bit about that last night. So why did we do a Mercy ministry with people with developmental disabilities? So one of the reasons is because people with developmental disabilities don't have a lot of rights or opportunities in the DR. For example, there isn't special education in the schools. There isn't an opportunity to get therapy that they need, like physical therapy or occupational therapy. And our kids were in a government orphanage, and there they never saw the light of day. They weren't let out. There is still government orphanage, and they don't even let visitors come in. So imagine being tied to your bed all day, nobody come and visit you. Imagine laying down and having food shoved down your throat. You can't even sit up to eat dinner. So the conditions are really bad. So we said, let's show them what we can actually really do. Let's build a home and show the DR how children can be cared for. So this picture was a while ago. We started our home in 2011 and with six kids. And we still have those same six kids. Now they're young adults. So I have another picture of them, and I think you guys got a handout of that. I have two gals and four guys, and I spoke about Moises last night. On the back of those cards on your seat, there is a little bit of information about them. So our home is one of a kind, and we provide rehabilitation through, we partner with some nonprofit organizations, and they come in and do different skills with our residents so that they can learn to be independent and do things on their own. Randy down here, he's covering his eyes. He always has his eyes covered. He has autism. So doing social things with him to kind of pull him out of his shell and he can talk. This is one of the things. And then Ramona is on the right. She's working with motor things because her hands don't bend easily. So it's hard for her to pick up things. So she's working on things like that. And our staff also does rehabilitation with the students, or sorry, with the residents. Here, one of our caregivers is, that's Moises. He's doing therapy on his legs because I mentioned he has cerebral palsy and he's partially crippled. So this ongoing rehabilitation is necessary so that his muscles don't atrophy and get hard, because then he won't be able to move his joints. So these are some videos that the kids, sorry, I call them kids, the residents, they do chores at home. This is Ramona, and she's a lot of fun. Here she's wiping down the table. So they're active. Only four of them can speak coherently, but they're very good communicators. This is Francis. Francis is deaf. And here we're making an Easter card. And he saw what he was drawing, the Easter card, which was an empty tomb. And he looked at me and he said, Jesus loves me. And so even though he's deaf and can't hear, the Lord, the Holy Spirit works in his life, and he knows that Jesus loves him. So you'll see he's going to sign Jesus loves me, and then you'll see the Easter card that we were drawing and why he started making that sign. And he did this on his own. So there's the Easter card, the empty tomb. And then we got one more, and this is Junior. Junior every day sweeps the all the rice. They eat rice every day in the Dominican Republic, and he doesn't miss a grain of rice. It all gets swept up. And he has cerebral palsy. He can only use one arm. So there he is pushing the rice, or sweeping it. Okay, and this is just one fun one. Dancing. There's Moises and dancing to merengue that they like to dance at birthday parties and things like that. We get them out. We go to movies. We go to the beach. We go to the park. And that's a really important part of telling people about people with disabilities because lots of times they're locked up in their homes and they don't have wheelchairs to get out. They don't have access. So whenever we're out in public, they're like, oh, you know, where are you guys from? And these the kids, and we're like, they're from the government orphanage. Oh, they live with us now. Great. This is Francis, and there he is with his pastor. And Francis loved to light the candles before church and then extinguish them. But then he would always, when he'd lit the candles, he's going back, he'd like do the peace sign and like, hey, I'm cool. And so our seminary students were like, we should really probably teach him to do this reverently. So they taught him how to approach the altar and bow in reverence, and to light the candles, and then to come back down and bow. And they had to practice it quite a bit. So now he even has an acolyte robe. He's very proud to be an acolyte, and we love it. He's participating as a full church member in his church and being active and serving in this way. So the first time he did it, though, it was hard for him to contain himself. And he came down and he bowed and he kind of like gave a little thumbs up, like, I did it okay, right? You know, so he's a great guy. Even though he's deaf, he has a gift to make friends and loves people. This is, I talked about, I said last night, I mentioned we have a Lutheran school. And this main building there in the middle that looks kind of blue and white, the first floor is our school, and the second floor has our church, and the third floor has our seminary. Then to right, you see the orange house. That's a group home. And I talked about Miguel. No lie. Miguel lives in, you can see the rusted tin roof. He lives in that house because he said he lives next to the church. And no lie, Ruth lives, you can't see her house, but she lives on the other side of the church. So they all live right close there. So this is, one of our churches in the Dominican Republic. And so what do I do? One of the things I do right now is I teach women to become deaconesses or deaconess formation. So one of our questions is, what is a deaconess? So a deaconess is a theologically and biblically trained woman. So those are big words. Theologically and biblically trained means she's received studies. Here it is. I went too fast. She's gone to school. So you can go to a Concordia, for example, and you study the Bible. You study the teachings of the Bible and what our church believes as Lutherans. And so we have that type of biblical training and practical training. We are trained so that we can serve the church, to tell others about Jesus. We can serve in congregations and help our pastor. That might be a coordinating, the Sunday school or confirmation programs or outreach into the community. It might be doing visitation to elderly people in the congregation. It might be doing a mom's ministry. Deaconesses work also for nonprofits. A lot of them are here. So I'm trying to think of an RSO, a nonprofit, help me out here. Nonprofit, where am I? What? Okay. That is a pregnancy center. Yeah. Okay. So we have deaconesses who work at different nonprofits who will serve people in the community. Okay. Institutions. So this could be, there are deaconesses that work at like, retirement homes and homes for the elderly. And they go around and they care spiritually for those people. Lutheran schools and on the mission field. So there's many opportunities where a deaconess can serve. How does she serve? She serves in doing works of mercy, and that is helping people in their physical needs. So, for example, like in the disasters that we just had in Texas, for example, with the flooding, a deaconess could be deployed to that area through her congregation or through one of our synodical institutions to go help people, to go care for them. Lots of times women like to talk to women, or lots of times easier for women to work with children. It all, you know, it all depends, not necessarily. But spiritual care, a deaconess is trained to pray for somebody, to visit them in the hospital, to listen to their needs, to give them comfort in God's word, and to point them to God's word. Or maybe she's like, you really need to talk to our pastor about this, to get pastoral care. Also Christian education goes teaching Sunday school, doing youth group, teaching in a Lutheran school, doing college ministry. A deaconess can do all of those things. So I'm going to talk, give you some examples. So I teach women in Latin America and the Caribbean. This, for example, is an example of Works of Mercy. These ladies in Guatemala with the blue shirts on, during COVID, there were people who were starving in Guatemala. And so they baked bread in their congregation and they sold it to the community. And it was coconut bread. And with the money, then they bought basic food staples. And you can see they made these food baskets and they gave it to people who needed help. So this is an example of a food offering that a deaconess would, the deaconess can organize to help people either in their congregation or in their community. And then their pastor, he's in the yellow shirt on the right, would go with them. They pray with the people and they share God's word with them. So deaconess also does spiritual care. So down here, this is Deaconess Danny, and she does visits elderly people who can't necessarily come to church. And then on the right, we have Deaconess Vicky. They live in Mexico City. Their church is right next to a really big hospital. So they go to the public hospital and they visit people, pray for them, and hand out literature about Jesus and invite them to church. So those are things they do. And lastly, teaching the faith. So this, for example, is an after-school program for kids who need help in school, or maybe their parents aren't home in the afternoon. This is in Panama, and they have 50 kids regularly come to their after-school program, and it's run by the two deaconesses you see there on the right. And then they work with their pastor, who reaches out to those families, and many kids have come into the church and their families because of this after-school program. So these are all examples of things that a deaconess do. We've trained so far 150 women in the countries that you see there. So we're in 10 countries, and we're going to be starting another cohort or group of women, another 60 women. Okay, we got some other, here's another important question here. And to the gal that asked that you put in your name on there, I'm going to briefly answer, but I'd love to also talk to you more about it. But it's an important question. So it says, why do we have deaconesses and not female pastors? Why do we believe women can't be pastors? So as us Christians in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we believe that the Bible teaches that men and women were created with different roles. God loves us equally, but God has given man an important role, and he's given women an important role. And Paul talks about, St. Paul talks about Christ being the head of the church, and that man is the head of his family. Because Christ is a man, all the disciples or the apostles were men. That is one of the reasons why we don't have women pastors. Also, we believe that a pastor is one who, pastor, a shepherd, lays his life down for the sheep, just as Jesus sacrificed himself for his bride, which is the church, okay, the beloved church, his bride. And we believe that God has created man in a special way, and with a different role, personalities. Men and women are different. There's a lot of fun examples we can get to that. And God has created man to carry the burden and the responsibility of caring for souls. Paul also talks about that pastors will give an account, of how they care for, their sheep. They will give an account to Jesus. And, you know, pastors wear stoles. And the stoles represent this burden that they carry of caring for their sheep, and tending to them or to us. So we believe that God intended and created, instituted the pastoral ministry for men, and he created them in a way to be able to carry that burden. There's a lot more we can talk about that. I think one thing to talk about it is not so much why can't women be pastors, but the fact that there's so many things that women can do. And there are vocations and offices in our church, like the deaconess, where we can serve. I can tell you this in living color. Many church bodies, like there's a church body called the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. They started out ordaining women, I think, in the 1980s. I can't remember for sure. Where is the ELCA now? They have trans pastors. Okay. That's where all this leads to. So God has created order, for us. Man, Adam, was the first, one of the first human being God created, and he gave him dominion over creation, and he gave him responsibility over Eve to love and protect her. And so we have these roles. Christ, who gave his life for his church, man, who Paul commands sacrifice, also your life, give your life, to your wife. And, as women, we are to, follow, Paul used the words obey and submit. We're also supposed to submit to one another. So, the deaconess vocation is a wonderful vocation where we work side by side with our pastor. There's so many things we can do. And the things that we do not do is preach publicly, like in a divine service. But you saw me, I was talking up there to all of you guys and sharing God's word. We can do an emergency baptism. Okay. God has placed special authority and given them over the pastors to be able to teach us his word and forgive us our sins. But deaconess vocation is a wonderful, vocation, or Lutheran school teacher, many roles that our women can do, to serve the church. And, I'd love if you, have more questions about that. You can talk to me, or we have Pastor Carlos here, and he can give you, even a better biblical explanation, than I can give. So, okay. Let's see. We got, a few more minutes here, and I still want to leave time for questions. I'm almost done. Talking about deaconesses again. So you saw that we teach deaconesses, women in 10 countries. I don't do this alone. These are some other women who are missionary deaconesses, that I work with to do deaconess formation, out of our seminary in the Dominican Republic. So we have a deaconess in Panama. We have a deaconess even here in the USA. And she's from Michigan. I know there's some Michigan people here. Grand Rapids, Deaconess Caitlin. Okay. And we got Crystal in Puerto Rico, and we have Heidi in Guatemala. So we have all these women who are serving around the world, for the same purpose. So, there are other deaconesses in other fields as well. So this is my last slide, and then I'll field more questions. So this is just a slide of, This is actually our first seminary building in the Dominican Republic when we were inaugurating it. And these are some of our church members carrying banners. And the banners say, I can't read from there. I have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor. So that is a prophecy from Isaiah. He's talking about the Jesus coming to be able to preach the good news to those who need forgiveness of sins. And the other banner says, I have been sent to heal the brokenhearted. And then Jesus reads those words when he starts his ministry. So this is what missionary work is about. This preaching of the word that goes out changes and heals hearts, and hearts are changed. Just like I talked about Moises, his life being changed, because of Jesus' love for him. And I'm going to talk about that since we're talking about healing of broken hearts and to tell you a little bit more about him. So Moises was abandoned in the street as a child. The police literally picked him up. He was scrounging for food, and they noticed that after about 3 days of watching him, there were no adults with him. So he got sent to the orphanage. He didn't have a name. They didn't know his name. That's why they called him Moises, which means Moses. Just like Moses got rescued from the bull rushers, in the river. And so when he came to live in the group home, he was in size 4 toddler clothing, or clothing for a 4-year-old. But we found out later when we took him to the dentist, he had all his molars. So he was actually 12 or 13 years old. So he had been so malnourished, he was the size of a 4-year-old. And again, like I said, he was tied to his crib because he would get out and he'd want to run around. So Moises, when they came to the group home, he had a lot of issues. I mean, he had been tied to his crib. He started self-harming himself, and he would bang his head against the tile floor, or we had to be really careful that he didn't get sharp objects. He'd start poking them in his eye. And he would hit. He didn't know how to communicate. One time he literally knocked the wind out of me. He wanted a glass of water. What we figured out, he was thirsty because it's hot there. And he hit me right in the chest because he was so frustrated. He didn't know how to ask for a glass of water. And so we had a lot of, behavioral issues and helping him. And that changed over time. And it took a lot of time. It took a lot of people getting hits and bites and different things. But a funny thing was, our pastor at the time, he's a big guy. He's like 6'1", and he's built. And I would pick up the kids in my car and take them to the church. And the church is on a second story, so we always had to help them get up to the second story. And I was helping Stephanie out. She's in a wheelchair. And our pastor was in the back helping the guys get out. And all of a sudden, I hear this, "Danelle, help me." And I'm like, what is going on? This pastor, one, doesn't ask for help, often. So I went around to the car, and little Moises, he's like a 4-year-old. He's got our pastor in a grip. He's got his arms around him. And so I could tell the pastor's he was just really trying to keep his balance. And I think he would have fallen over as a timber. No. And I said, "What's the problem?" He's like, "He won't let go of me." And I'm like, "Well, he's hugging you." I'm like, "Just reach down and give him a hug." And so he reached down, gave Moises a hug. Moises released his grip, and then he went, running on. And our pastor just stood there dumbfounded. He's never given me a hug before. And so again, we went from Moises self-harming himself to now somebody who knows how to give love. And this is all about what Jesus does. He heals broken hearts through his word. How about if I could just say a prayer for you guys and the rest of your week, and then you're free to go. But if anybody wants to come up and ask questions for us, we'll be around cleaning up, and we're happy to talk to you. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've given us that opportunity to be here at the youth gathering, to learn more about you, to learn about your church, your love for us. We pray for all these individuals that are here and have come to learn about missionary work. Lord, there's so many people who need to hear about your message in the world, and they're sad, they're lost, they don't have the forgiveness of their sins, they don't know love. And Lord, we would just pray that you would give us the words and the encouragement and the power and the motivation to be able to tell others about you. So pray for each one here. We pray that you bless their time here, that you protect them while you're here, and that you work in their lives, Lord, so that they can endure in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.